Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Martin Biron joining us on the Wester Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Biron. Happy Thursday. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing really good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, it's Thursday, so by this time of the week, I'm usually, my spirits are good. Thank you for asking. Carter Hutton.
You're putting me on a Thursday morning instead of a Monday morning.
Oh, so yeah.
That's a lot easier.
Yeah, you would not enjoy Monday morning, Marty. Carter Hutton, what happened the other night in Ottawa? You know what? The way that game played out with him and the score and the play in front of him, it reminded me of how he looked in the 12-game losing streak.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I think you you saw Carter play really well after the Linus Solmark injury. Even when he lost the game, like the first couple of games, I believe it was Columbus, maybe Montreal, he played really well but did not get wins. And then finally he got himself a couple of wins, and then he moved forward and was good. In the Ottawa game, it seems like that fast and furious moment where all the goals kept coming really took his confidence away, and goalies are going to have bad games. Listen, it's unfortunate, but it is going to happen. One of my goalie coaches always told me, in a 10-game stretch, if you have three A-plus games, four or five like B games, and then you have a couple of C, D games, like that's good. You're gonna survive in the National Hockey League and strive in the National Hockey League that way. So this was a C or D whatever game for Carter Hutton, and you saw him kind of not being able to track the puck well. He was out of position a few times, and it just reminded me, and as you pointed out, a lot of when Carter's struggling, but it's going to happen. Now, how do you come back from it knowing that you have games? Like, you know, you have some practice time and you have a couple of games this weekend and you have games next week and Linus is still not back. So there's time for Carter to get himself going. That's the difference between now and in December or January, because when Carter would lose in December or January, he would have to wait four, five, six games to go back in the net. Now he gets to do it again. I think that's a different situation, a different mindset, and hopefully things work well.
Can a D game stick with you? That how quickly can a goalie get rid of the D game mentally?
Well, you should be able to get rid of it really quick. You should be able to, you know, the old saying is you're only as good as your last game should not apply to a goaltender. Yes, you can feel good about how you're playing and carry that into another game, but the basis of goaltending is to forget what just happened. You give up a goal, you got to forget what just happened. You had a 55 save shutout, you got to forget what just happened. You had a D game where you lost 7-4 to the Ottawa Senators. You have to forget what just happened. That's the basis of being a goalie and having success as a goalie. So could it stick with you? Yes. But you have to be able to forget, and hopefully he's able to do that. That's the mental game. I mean, there's the physical game, there's the technical game, and there's the mental game. That's part of the mental game that you have to work on.
Okay, speaking of the mental side of the game then, if you had a chance to give some advice to Jeff Skinner or talk to him right now, what would you tell him?
I would tell him work. Do something. Get on the ice and work. Do something. Right now, you know, a month ago, and when Victor Olofsson was hurt, I was really, you know, big on, let's see what Skinner can do with Eichel. Let's give him some confidence back. Mm-hmm. I brought it up on the instigators. I brought it up on the broadcast. You know, let's just give Skinner something when he came back from his injury that maybe it will boost his confidence. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, I wouldn't want to reward Jeff Skinner with ice time with Jack Eichel, because his game is lacking in urgency. It's lacking in determination. It's lacking in structure. I watched Jeff just go around the ice like he's a bit of a zombie out there. And I would say, go show me what you've got, and then you can get a reward after. It's just, it would be a really bad message to say, okay, you struggle, but you're not even working to play. Oh, here you go. You're going to play with Jack Eichel. So to me, that's the thing. I would say, listen, I get you're frustrated. I totally get this is not a really good situation with you. Last year you were with Jack. This year you're not. But you can control something. When you go out there, you can, you know, number one, not be taking bad penalties. I think Jeff has that side of him when things are not going well. He always seems to take bad penalties. Go out there and draw penalties. Work hard, move your feet, get to the front of the net. Against Ottawa, it started really well. He got a scoring chance, and then Montour scores the first goal, but then Jeff doesn't even get an assist on the play. Whatever. I don't know if he's really looking for that assist or not. And then it seems like the game went away from him, and then he takes a penalty, and it just didn't look good. So that's what I would say. Just go out there and every shift and show that you've got the urgency to do something good.
The only problem with that, Marty, is that he's not going to get that reward, right?
Well, you know what? Is he? Is he not? I think there's going to be a time at the end of the season here where, if you're completely falling out of the playoffs and you want to see something or you want to try something different, maybe you do. I mean, I'm all for stability. You have a line, keep them together all season. When you're chasing a playoff spot, when you start the season and you're trying to string together some wins and a couple of streaks here. But with 10, 15 games left, if the gap was to remain 10 points, 12 points, 10 points, I think what you have to do is see, okay, how do we prepare for next year and what's going to happen? And then when you see that guy working hard, then there's a reward there. I think it, in my world, it should be. And well, I understand right now letting Olofsson get himself going again. But maybe with 10 games left, you make a change and you see what you got out of Olofsson on a different line. That's where I would be. But if Jeff continues to do what he's doing, it's going to make the decision easy for the coaching staff to not even give it a try.
I want to debate you on this a little bit. I want to push back on the idea.
Yeah, go for it.
Here we go. Because Jeff Skinner last year with Jack Eichel scored 32 even strength goals. This year he has 11. And Victor Olofsson has 8. Like, what did Olofsson do to earn that spot? You know, we could say that Olofsson's playing well, and he is. He's okay. He's a rookie. He's one of the best rookies in the league. But he is still more of a power play threat than he is an even strength threat. And, you know, I think as the season has gone on, the coaches are happy. Ralph Kruger is happy with that top line. But Olofsson is on pace to finish this season with half of the even strength goals that Jeff Skinner had last year. So I'm not so sure that line is doing everything it could. The reason that line is producing so much is because Jack has gone to another level. Jack is going to score 40 goals. But Olofsson's going to end the season with, what, 13 even strength goals if he does well? And Skinner had 32 last year.
Yeah, I Jeremy, it's a great point. I think two things. One, you start the season and you may want to say, okay, how do we spread the production around the roster that we have? And first year guy, Victor Olofsson, on his own, you know, we're really not relying on Victor to get some offense on a different line than with Jack Eichel, but we can rely on Jeff Skinner to provide some offense on a different line. And I do think that had to do something with the decision. And then the second part of that is, yes, Victor has 8 even strength goal and he's not lighting it up at even strength, but because Victor is playing really well, and I think he's playing really well with the puck, he's making plays and Sam's playing well. Look at the season Jack Eichel is having. Would Jeff Skinner be able to continue in the same way that Victor Olofsson is, making plays, passing, finding Jack Eichel? Or would Jeff Skinner be the focal point of scoring goals on that line, taken away from what Jack Eichel is doing? So I think the key to this scenario is how well Jack is doing and saying, we have a a bona fide superstar, a guy that could get 100 points, could get 40 goals, and could be in the top three MVP race and candidate and one of the best player in the National Hockey League. And that has to be a result of having Olofsson and Reinhardt on the line. So why are we taking that away from Jack and from our captain when we can see he has that level? So maybe that's another angle to it, saying Victor makes Jack better, and we can take that. We can take Jack at this level because he definitely can be a game changer.
Sure. And I think if Skinner's frustrated, Marty, it's not even just about Skinner with Eichel. Like, I don't need that to happen. But if you're asking me, there are four forwards on this team that can really contribute offensively, and three are on the same line. So Skinner doesn't get to play with Eichel, but he also never gets to play with Reinhardt. And he also never gets to play on the other wing. Well, oh, he and Olofsson might play on the same side. But there are four guys, and he's got the shortest straw. So while I've got Eichel, who will drive just about anybody that they put him with, and he's doing that by driving Olofsson, I got Skinner with who? You know, Larson is probably his best option, and he doesn't consistently play with Larson. So, you know, it almost seems like I've used this line before, Marty, that it's that Meatloaf song, "I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that." They'll do anything to try and get Skinner going, except putting him with one of the other forwards on the team that can actually do the job with him.
Well, you think of it, I really don't think that Skinner and Reinhardt on their own with Curtis Lazar or Johan Larsson is going to provide much. And again, it's because Victor Olofsson and Sam Reinhardt are producing because they're playing with Jack. And Jimmy Vesey got a little bit of a taste of that. It took him a couple of games, and then he scored on back-to-back games. You know, I think the key here is that anybody you put with Jack Eichel, sooner or later, after an adjustment period, will produce and will get you some results. And anybody not playing with Jack Eichel right now is not. And I really like Marcus Johansson on the wing, what he's been doing the last few games. And I thought played extremely well, you know, on the line with Lazar. And then it was Sheary at first, and then it became VC. But again, like, Skinner kind of plays the same side. So, you know, could you say let's put Johansson and Skinner together with maybe a Lazar? Maybe you could do it and play somebody on their off wing. But you just put Johansson on the left wing, and you just are seeing what he can do. I think it would be hard to move Johansson now to the right wing and say, okay, let's see what you can do over there. So I feel like you're saying Skinner, unfortunately, is kind of an island right now.
Yeah, I think
an island. And
that's real quick. Yeah. I've just got some numbers on this because I wanted to bring this up later. You know, he's fourth in the league in even strength scoring since 2012, behind only Ovechkin, Tavares, and Kane. And one thing, when I posted that the other day, a lot of people kind of pushed back with, well, those guys drive their own lines. I mean, Ovechkin plays with Nick Backstrom, who makes $9 million a year, and Kane spent most of last year with Taves, who makes 10, and Tavares plays with William Nylander. Marner and Matthews play together. Like, it's almost like the Sabres. Like, listen, I understand that Skinner's problem actually isn't his problem. He needs a $9 million second line center or a $7 million second line center, somebody that can be there, because the great players and the great scorers get support. And he is the most islanded. Is that a word? He has
isolated. I don't know.
Sure, yeah. He has absolutely been abandoned by the Sabres, by the coaches, by the GM. He's in a shooting slump. He might be a little bit disengaged, like you mentioned. Like, I'm not necessarily fighting against that, but it's the Sabres' job to get him back.
Yes, it is a job to manage your roster and get him back. My point again is, okay, to get him back and to maybe give him that opportunity, something has to happen. And I'm sure Ralph and Jason Bottrell and maybe all the whole coaching staff has got to get frustrated a little bit with what they're seeing out of Jeff Skinner. And to me, like, I remember Lindy, right? I mean, if you had a player talented like Jeff Skinner, if you had a Miro Chetan, and Miro gave you zero work and came back in the room with his hair dry at the end of the game, not a drop of sweat, Lindy would lose it. And Miro would be playing with Eric Bolton the next game. And that's simple. That was like, look, give me work and you'll get a reward. Give me attention to details, you'll get a reward. I'm not saying that Jeff Skinner would technically get the ultimate reward of playing with Jack Eichel, but he may get a reward of playing in overtime. He may get a reward of first power play. He may get that reward right now because Marcus Johansson is getting it, and Marcus is playing well. He's playing on the wing. He's not playing with Jack Eichel, and he's getting 4 or 5 shots on goal. He's getting some production. He's getting some chances. That's the baby step you've got to take. And I don't know. Obviously, there's a method to what Ralph is trying to do and how it's going to work. But I see Jeff being frustrated and turning that into a negative as opposed to turning it into a positive or hoping to turn it into a positive. Now, if Jeff plays, skates, draws penalty, is in the forecheck, he just can't get anybody to pass him the puck, now we're going to start looking and say, okay, like, what are the Sabres doing for him? But at this point, I'm looking, what is Jeff doing for himself? And the answer is not much.
Is there any player on the trade chatter, or I'm going to take you late here, Marchessault, Vinny Trocheck, any name you've heard about a forward that maybe could be available that jumps out at you that you like? Like, if the Sabres got this guy, you'd be pretty happy about it.
You know what? I mean, Marchessault, you pointed out, I really like him, and I've loved him from the time he was in Florida. I couldn't believe Florida let him go. I think he's very quick. He's got a great hockey sense. He's a goal scorer. He's definitely a guy that I don't think he's top level, like where, you know, Eichel is and where, you know, some of the best player in the league are. So you got to be careful what you pay for a guy like Marchessault. But I do think he's a guy that intrigues me. I look at the trade bait board, like TSN have their trade bait board, and guys are falling off of it. And, I don't think Kreider's going anywhere. Jean-Gabriel Pageau is intriguing to me. We saw him play, you know, just the other day against the Sabres. I've loved Pageau from the time that he was a first-year, second-year guy because he's like a Swiss Army knife. You want him to play a defensive style of game, he'll do it. Kill penalty, he'll do it. You want him to go jump on the power play, he'll do it. I don't think he would be your answer at second-line center for the future, but I think he could fit in, you know, to that role for maybe a little bit because he is a natural center. And he's proven this year with his, you know, 24 goals that he could score. So he's intriguing to me, but he's not a rental. If you trade for Pageau, you have to know that you have the extension done and that you're moving forward. But right now, the Sabres, would have to get a contract done, and they're fighting with unrestricted free agency. Like Pageau is probably saying, I'm going to go to July 1. I want to see what's out there.
Yeah.
So that becomes a bit of a tricky situation. But I really think he's a special player in the league. And obviously he's having a hot year. So you got to be careful with the sticker price. But I think he's pretty good.
All right. We took you for a while. Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks, Marty. Have a nice weekend.
That's okay. You guys are late for the break show, so that's the way it works.
We're late for the 8 o'clock
break.
Yeah, it's
bad. It's gonna be bad. Yeah. We got Kruger coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I gotta listen to this. So, yeah, go have fun with Ralph, and we'll talk to you next week, and the trade deadline will have come and gone.
Thanks, Marty.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.